Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, it's Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers, and I'm excited to be here tonight. We're going to be talking about angels, about star people, and about our galactic family tonight. Want to know what you think about that. How does it resonate with you that there's a lot of conversation now? Sounds like we may be having a few technical challenges here. So I'm hoping that you can hear me. I'm going to go live to some of our callers. David, are you here with us this evening?
Yes, I'm here, Audrey. Good to be with you.
Well, good. Looks like we're having some technical challenges. It's the first time that yours truly is trying to run the boards and do the show. So, Makua Ray, if you're out there, come on in, brother. Help a sister out. But we're going to have some fun tonight. David and Mary, I know that you all are online, and part of our conversations often have been around what this time means and interpreting so much information coming from various factors in terms of the communication between us here on the earth and what's out there in the universe. And certainly that's not a very new conversation. It's actually an old conversation. I was thinking about just before the show about some of the information coming out of Mali and the Dogon, who have always fascinated me with their talking about the dog star system of Sirius and how for many, many hundreds of years, how they've talked about the Nomos, the ancestral gods and ancient scientists and teachers who come from out of space. And I wanted to read this quote, and then I wanted to jump into a dialogue. They said that the Dogon identified the Nomos as traveling in a fiery spaceship, and the appearance of a new star called the 10th moon, which has only been recently identified by astronomers as the 10th moon orbiting the planet Saturn. So more and more we're hearing about, in modern terms, a return of the star people. Even Baba Cradle Mutwa, when I was in South Africa, talked about the star people returning, and when they do, finding us worthy of them. So let me hear about what you think about star people. Is that something that is totally fabricated? Could it possibly be people out there in the universe somewhere? And when we talk about angels and star people, are we talking about the same thing? What do you think, David?
Oh, I think I don't think it's fabricated at all, because I totally believe in that those beings are there and that they're here now. And a story like you just articulated with the Dogon is an incredible testimony to that. And I've been following that story a little bit for quite a while, and I've always been very impressed by it. So I'm on board very much with that concept, and to me it's just in alignment with the way that the universe really does function, as we're becoming more and more aware of that now in this time of awakening. So to me, yes, a big
okay,
yes.
Okay, well, yeah. Is Mary around?
Yeah, she's
yeah,
there.
I'm here.
Okay, Mary, I know you have a lot of ideas on angel star people in our galactic family. What comes up for you when we start this dialogue?
Well, I really have always felt that we've never been alone in the universe, and I think of that great line from the movie Contact where Jodie Foster said, if there's not life in other life in the universe, it seems like a pretty big waste of space.
Because, I agree with
you
that.
You know, right? There's life that's teeming and abundant and on so many different levels of reality that right now we're just, in general, we've been perceiving a 3D, a limited sense of reality, but that is rapidly expanding. And we who have been in quarantine on this planet Earth, thinking that we are separate, are now awakening to the greater reality that we are part of a cosmos. We're galactic citizens. And it's a lot more going on than we had thought. So this opening in our consciousness to other realities is going to be the most exciting time of life as we realize our unlimited possibilities of creativity and expansion of love and, the best is yet to come as we open up and have real contact, real communication with these beings. And it's an exciting time to embrace this new day.
Why do you think there's so much energy right now going out? I know among many of the common teachers that we've been reading and information that's been coming out in some of the new books as well as new shows on the radio, whether it's on internet radio or, you know, mainstream radio, a lot of conversation around our galactic family showing itself or revealing itself to us here on the Earth. Why do you think this time is calling that forward to us? Is it because we're ready to hear it, or is it something about the timing of the universe now?
Well, I think both. I think that we are ready to hear it. I think that our consciousness has come to a point where we are able to be open to the experience of that. And I think that we're on a galactic time schedule in that all life is ascending into a new dimension, and that naturally will lead to the need for us to get the information that we need from our brothers and sisters in space who can help us remember what we have forgotten, because we have had a collective amnesia. And we are now going through a global spiritual awakening to other dimensions of reality that will help us with our spiritual growth and remembering what we've forgotten. So it is an idea whose time has come, and it is all happening because we're ready and because it needs to now. We need to take this evolutionary leap in consciousness from a limited perspective to embrace a larger one for the survival and evolution of all life.
Well, you know, Mary, I was thinking as you were talking, and I wanted to take pause for a moment. You're listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers with Audrey Scott Williams and my guest tonight. We're going to just have an open dialogue, and I'll be sharing some information from the grandmothers as well. But we have Mary Woods and Dave DeFabo and Karen Hunter-Watson also on the call this evening, all a part of the 13 Moonwalk for Peace. And so I want to thank you, team, for showing up for this conversation that we're having. I want to switch to Karen for a second, Mary and Dave, because we all know that Karen's the angel lady, and she's been channeling angels for a long time. in fact, a lot longer than I've known her. And often when we talk about angels, my question, Karen, since I'm going to direct this to you, is I've often wondered if angels are a part of our space family or our galactic family, and how do we make the distinctions in terms of, you know, what is heaven, what is the out there that is of God, of the divine force? Can an angel actually be a star being, Karen? Okay, Karen, I'm gonna ask you to hold for just a moment. We're having trouble getting your mic up, but I think we just about have you ready to go. Okay, let us. Yeah, I think we have you on board. So let's try again, Karen. Go ahead and try to answer that question. David, I'm gonna mute you. Nope, I got everybody up. Okay, Karen, go ahead. Okay. Can angels be star beings?
I would think yes, they can be, because my understanding of all of this is that it all comes from spirit, that there's only one being, and that one being is divine. So everything comes from the divine heavenly being, which you call it angels, you call them guides, you call them space brothers and sisters, you call them galactic beings. They come from other realms. They're not in the realm that we're in. My understanding of angels is that they are beings that have never had a form in the form that we know them in, but they can take form in any form that they choose. So I would say yes, because it sounds and it feels as though it's the same kind of activity that goes on with galactic beings. Well, I've also heard the same thing, but as far as actually knowing, only from what my spirit tells me, yes. And this is my connection with angels and also with star beings, because I've had the opportunity to be in contact with both. So I would say yes, they're all of one nature. They come from one being, but you might give them all different names, and they probably have all different functions, but they're still of the divine.
Well, that sounds like a good answer. You know, as I've, you know, going from being a so-called ordinary person on an ordinary track to fulfilling what I thought was certainly one of my purposes when I was in academia, and then all of a sudden finding my whole world turned upside down, and, you know, receiving channeling from the grandmothers that speaks to star beings, I was often, you know, wondering, what is a star being? Could it possibly be that the star beings that they are referencing are actually just like how we call God by so many different names in our various cultures and society? When we talk about star beings, might they be have many different names and associated with different star systems? I know from an indigenous wisdom standpoint, I was always struck by every indigenous culture has a star knowledge or a cosmology from which their creation stories emerge. And though that cosmology connects them from their existence here on the earth, a very grounded way, but it connects them back in time and forward in time, to an existence that is interwoven with the cosmic forces or the cosmic realm, very much seeing themselves as a part of the cosmic tapestry or heavenly tapestry. So as I began to receive this kind of channeling, it has really taken me, you know, of all the years that I've been channeling, into realms of trying to understand, okay, so we have this concept coming forward, and yet there is this calling that so many people are talking about being called into something, into some divine action in their path or purposeful path, where is that call coming from? You know, of course, we talk about the divine from within, and then yet we have these angels that we channel or cosmic beings that we channel. Could they be the ones that are sending forth as messengers of God or messengers of the universe or divine force or divine source? Could they be the ones that are reaching into each of us, perhaps being star seeds planted here, you know, thousands of years ago, to call us up on a higher level of consciousness? David, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely believe that concept and have, you know, had my own personal experiences along those lines. I remember when I was a child and a ball of light appeared in my room. And just was this amazing light, and it just kind of hovered there, and I felt a real peaceful kind of loving presence and energy coming from it, and then it just disappeared through the wall after a while. And I always wondered what that meant. I didn't really experience any words or any kind of communication in that way, but I always wondered if it was some type of, you know, activation or just reminding me that, yes, the universe is much bigger than what you're being told in school. So I definitely believe that we are here to be a part of ushering in. And it's almost like, you know, you're kind of maybe, you know, on one part of our consciousness, we're on the other side of the veil where we're a part of that angelic world. And then we kind of say, oh, let's go on this mission and go down into this planet Earth and help that planet come through this process that it needs to go through. And that may take thousands of years to accomplish that process. So, you know, I kind of see it that way. The universe is so amazing. The more we're learning about it now, the more we're awakening into the fulfillment of knowing what it is again and remembering what it is again and how it functions allows us to have the capacity to understand it in these ways. And that's very comforting in a way and freeing, taking us beyond the three-dimensional confines of how we experience the world into this more multidimensional nature of things where it allows for these other types of ways of experiencing time and space or space and time.
Absolutely. You know, and as we do experience that and experience time beyond time, I believe one of the things that happens is we truly look at relationship. What does relationship mean? You know, maybe the biggest starship out there is the relationship, because as I read more and more, as I'm channeling more and more from the grandmothers now, there's been a decided turn in terms of information coming regarding our galactic family. One of the things that's at the core of that is the importance of us remembering what it is to be in relationship with all of life. In fact, the channeling coming from the grandmothers now is so profound that it speaks to all things as consciousness. And the human mind is only a part of a collective consciousness that comes out of everything that's ever been created in the universe, and that everything is existing simultaneously across dimensions, including time and space. And so, you know, we look at, well, these beings are coming. Are they coming to help us? Are they coming to destroy us? And the information that I get from the grandmothers is that we're going to have a lot of help to help feed the consciousness of enlightenment and illumination. And so when I read the characteristics that they give of this light force coming, I also can read descriptions of the guardian angels, for instance, and references in the Bible, and it's very hard to distinguish one from another. I want to play a stop for a moment. We're going to identify ourselves. This is Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio, And we're going to listen to a song by one of my favorite musicians, Makua Ray, as he talks about The Rainbow Is Calling. And while we are setting that up, I also wanted to make a statement that if anyone is interested in joining in on the conversation, come on in, press 1 and let us know that you're raising your hand so that you can be a part of the conversation. In the meantime, let's listen to the Rainbow song, The Universe Is Calling You.
What do you want to say today? What do you want to know? Time started slipping away. Hey, when we started getting old, the rainbow never lost its true meaning. Go, children, arrive, prophecy to be born. Do you recognize the signs? They're all around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe calling you to raise your daughters and sons. Universe calling you, there's some healing work to be done. The universe calling you, build a legacy of love. The universe calling you, when you don't pick it up. Whoa, life is so much more than that 9 to 5. Much more than the zeros and ones. We're living out of tune and rarely feel truly alive. When's the last time you walked barefoot on earth and with open arms embraced the sun? There's a miracle in your eyes. It's reflected in the sky. We are the rainbow children, sent here to unify. You may not see it yet, oh no, but it's coming, oh yeah. I sing these songs to prophesy. The universe calling you to raise your daughters and sons. Calling you, there's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you, build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you, tell me when you're gonna pick it up.
is Audrey Scott Williams, and you are now listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.
Well, welcome back to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio with your host, Audrey Scott Williams. We have in studio tonight, we have Dave DeFabo, Mary Woods, and Karen Hunter Watson. We're talking about angels, star people, and our galactic family. And we've been having quite a varied conversation, particularly looking at, is there a correlation between angels and our cosmic friends? And I wanted to take a moment and say, Mary, I know that you've traveled around quite a bit, meeting with some of the great wisdom teachers on the planet right now, even having your early beginnings with Edgar Cayce. Are there any teachings from Edgar Cayce that may share some light on our conversation?
Gosh, that's not something I know the answer to right away, but I have to think about that because I do believe that he did give information. I just can't quote him right now. I feel that he did mention that there is life on other planets, and that I think that it's something about how the reason we weren't in communication with him right now is because we had our curriculum in this 3D classroom that we were in. And so that would be somewhat of a distraction to get into other life forms at this time. But as we have been graduating from this level of karma or our purpose here on this 3D reality, we can move into a higher classroom now or higher dimension. I'm not really sure what the Cayce quotes were about that, but he certainly is a teacher who, in his readings, he did mention them. I know he was alluding to that there is a lot more going on than our limited perception of what reality is.
Yeah, absolutely, and I remember kind of going back in my brain here, but I remember quite a significant amount of writing in regards to wasn't it the ancient Egyptians the relationship, some of the energy, the intermingling energy coming from the stars and with the ancient Egyptian society and culture and teaching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you, Audrey. That refreshes my memory about the positioning of the Great Pyramid and the other pyramids in Giza, how they correspond geometrically and perfectly to the Orion belt, as a stargate, pointing right to a stargate at the third star of the belt of Orion. So there is messages through all the different traditions that correlate or pointing to the stars, that we're part of a bigger family than just our human experience.
Yes, I remember also that Drumvalo, when we were in Sedona, had quite a bit to say, not only about our galactic family, but the inner Earth family. And I know that you were sharing some of the information about that inner Earth experience. Remember when we were standing there talking to him, it was the exact spot where he took a group or has taken several groups into the inner Earth dimension. And I thought that was quite significant because the grandmothers have also talked about that. And what they say is that there is a link between the inner Earth beings and the cosmic beings, and that as they come together or have come together in ancient times to seed humanity, that on a periodic, they do a periodic return where they both reveal themselves as they sort of assess where we are and do what's necessary to calibrate us towards our next level of evolution as we continue to evolve to reach a more illumined state or a higher conscious state, understanding the power and presence of love that is sort of the seed of who we are. But, of course, love having a much bigger definition than what we often, you know, attach love here in this dimension to, basically an emotional state of being. But they attach it to a condition of understanding and connectedness of all things. And as we connect and relate in that universal way, then we can't do harm to ourselves because we're harming everything in the universe. Or we can't do harm to anyone else because then we're affecting the entire chain of life in the universe. And so as those teachings have come forward, the grandmothers have benchmarked this time that we're in now as sort of a great coming forth period. In other words, I think we have on their time clock another 150 years or so before it won't be a conversation about what's happening. We will literally have jumped into that space of awareness of more of an illumined state of being, and that will be reflected in our existence in a much healthier way that will allow us to use the energy then that is available to us to create incredible technologies that are far beyond three dimension. So I'm just throwing that out there for any comment on that from you, Mary, or Dave, or Karen. Have you connected with that kind of information as you've studied with different teachers and so forth? That threw a big one out there, huh?
I'll take a little crack at it.
Okay.
See if I can try to zero in on what the question is. I think that so many new experiences are coming out now that are sort of indications of that calibration process happening. And a lot of the information that we're paying attention to are really describing this process that we're going through and the new understanding that we are destined to come to. It's really is happening. We're in the process right now of reading a book called The Source Field Investigations by David Wilcock. Very, very well done, well researched, and well articulated in terms of what we all need to start to understand as human beings coming forward. And it really does articulate what you're saying in the sense that when you begin to connect with this information, it does open something up in you. You realize that the universe is a creation pattern and that you are part of that and that everything else is a part of that too. And we are in that relationship, and that is that sacred relationship that's happening every moment, every sacred moment. And that can be articulated scientifically, which is another way, I think, that the science and the spirituality and even the core of religions are coming together and into where we're going to begin to experience this. But part of it is us understanding the scientific workings of things to free our minds to really go there on a moment-to-moment basis, I think, is one of the ways that I get there. And it's fascinating to look at it. Another amazing person out there is a man named Nassim Harriman, who's just put out a movie called Black Hole, and he spells it Whole, Black Hole. And he has decoded the creation pattern, which comes out of many ancient texts, many ancient geometric symbols that have been around the world, have been seen around the world in structures. And he's been able to decode this, and it basically shows – this process of how the universe works, and it's how we work because we are the universe. And it really does begin to open, I think, anyone up who comes into contact with that information.
Absolutely, David. I think that for me, it stretched me. It has truly, truly stretched me. Being a channel for the grandmothers of the four directions, three of whom have never had an earth experience from their teachings and transmissions to me, so they're not bound by a 3D, sense of things. And so the information that comes forward often stretches me beyond what, at this point now, it's hard to hold a belief system. It's like letting go and free falling through the universe, if you will, because I really find that from their teachings, I almost have to let go of everything in order to embrace something much bigger. And so today I want to thank David, Mary, and Karen for being on the program with me and kind of helping me through my virgin voyage of running the boards and running the show, because I wanted to introduce this topic because for me, a lot of people who know me will think this is a real stretch in terms of the information that I normally would be having a conversation around. But I want to bring forward some very deep teachings in the near future. And so I want to begin to lay a groundwork of comfortability, if you will, making people comfortable talking across these lines and going into ancient texts. I think next week we're going to bring up some ancient texts. We're going to look at some of the Pleiadian teachings, the Orion teachings. We'll probably look at a little bit of the anthills of Orion. That's part of the Hopi. We'll probably take a snapshot of some of the Dogon teachings, and then we'll couple that with some very specific teachings from the grandmothers. So by next week, we'll have all the controls under, just right. But I want to help you all for helping me to lay a groundwork so that as people come on board and want to be a part of the conversation, it's not a fear-based conversation. Whether we all agree or not doesn't really matter to me. What is most important, as in all things, is that we agree to disagree, we agree to have a conversation, and we agree to ask the questions that are often, discouraged from being asked as we look at this whole realm of spirituality, not just from a standpoint of a biblical sense or a holy book sense, but expanding our whole trust of what's holy to embrace the universe. So I want to thank you very much for being with me on Wisdom Teachings and beginning to lay that foundation. I'm going to play a piece by Nathan Dyke, and all of you all may remember Nathan. We sweated with him in Asheville, and he did a CD called Light Body. I'm going to segue into one of Nathan's pieces from that CD, and then I'm going to share with our listeners a presentation that was done at Unity, speaking of combining the sacred, because to me this is all, we're all dancing in a field of sacredness. So I'll bring you one of the teachings that I did at Unity most recently. So let's listen to Nathan Dyke from his CD Light Body, and then I'm going to go right into the wisdom teachings that were brought forward in our Circle of One.
Karen Hunter Watson, who just sang the song. She's our songstress on the journey among many things. She truly captures in music for children and adults what the energy of the walk is all about. Karen and I have walked together for 12 years. We started our journey, first of all, as a way of honoring and healing. Peace and reconciliation is at the core of what we do. So we began in the year 2000 walking from Pennsylvania to Georgia through the Appalachian Mountains with the intention of honoring our ancestors at the north who escaped the system of slavery through the Underground Railroad, and our ancestors at the south, being of Cherokee origin, who escaped the Trail of Tears. And so we wanted to reconcile those two tragedies in our history, feeling that, you know, sometimes we pass on unhealed energy. And so we want to embrace the power of who we all are, find the dream in the midst of the tears to pass on to generations to come. And it was sitting in a cave at the end of that walk when there were seven of us that in the mountains of Georgia, we were taking a rest in this beautiful cave with a waterfall, and this light came into the cave, and we knew in that moment that our journey wasn't over. See, I've been the reluctant peace walker from the beginning. You know, to tell you how prepared I was, when we started this particular journey, our first journey, 5 minutes into the walk, I was totally lost, all right? So being the leader of the team, you want to play it off, but nevertheless, thankfully, my 16-year-old son, who was ahead of us in the woods, found us, got us turned in the right direction so that we could continue the journey. So at the end of every journey, I say, this is my last walk. So at the end of that one, sitting in the cave, this light comes into the cave, and it was an instantaneous knowing among all of us that we had to do another journey, and that journey would take us across the Atlantic Ocean to Ghana, into the slave dungeons, walking the path of our ancestors as they were captured, doing healing and reconciliation work at that level. And so again, as we came back across the ocean on our way back home, we decided, okay, so the healing's done, the walking's done, so now we get on with life. Well, Spirit always has a way of conspiring. Anybody here felt Spirit conspire in your life just when you thought you were going in a certain direction? Well, that's what happened. And I entered a program, a graduate program with Indigenous Studies, to help a friend of mine, and ended up escorting elders who held traditions of wisdom traditions for over 500 years in their lineage, traveling with them from one part of the world to another, and having the honor and privilege to sit at their feet as they simply exchange stories with one another. My goodness, I you know, even now I have to pinch myself to just hear some of those stories. So in my message today, I'll bring some of these elders to life with you also, because one of the most important treasures that I took out of that experience is that around the world, in places that you would not think, are people who have been praying and praying and praying in an unbroken chain of prayers for humanity and Mother Earth for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Can you imagine that? That was just amazing to me. So somewhere in between traveling with them and some of the experiences we were having back home as we were bringing more elders and youth together to talk about peace, often up in the Georgia mountains, one of the things that began to sort of whisper in my ear was, there's coming a time when you're going to have to walk the talk. Well, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, after our last Beyond the Global Divide experience up in the Georgia mountains with elders and young people, at the end of that, I entered a room full of volunteers, and I said, does anyone want to walk around the world for peace? And, of course, everyone, there's this silent pause that probably matched the pause in my heart when I had the vision. And so then that's how we began to do a 3.5-year walk across and around 6 continents. Coming back home, we knew it was time to retire, but only from New York to Atlanta, discovered pockets of communities that are suffering. pockets of communities that reflected places we've been in very rural India or Africa or South America, other parts of the world, but truly not here at home. And we found them to be invisible and voiceless. And we looked at each other and we said, you know what? We have one more walk to do. And this walk has to be with the intention of opening the heart of America so that we can see with courage where we are. Because one of the things that we've learned in all these years is that everything out there is simply a reflection of what's in here. When there's chaos in here, there's chaos out there. So what is it within our heart that we need to come face to face with to affect the change that will make this world a better place for all people? And that began what's called the 13 Moon Walk for Peace. And we called it that because one of the elders I traveled with, Mr. Haile Makua, who is now ancestor of the four that I traveled with extensively, three have made their transition. Including Mr. Haile Makua. But he always used to say to me, when we begin to look at the 13 moon calendar, which is the lunar calendar, we will begin to move from the head to the heart. And so in honor of him, that's why this walk was called the 13 moon walk. So we walked for 13 moons on this journey. But I was reminded often of a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt on this journey. It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe it. And it isn't enough to believe it. One must work for it. People always say to me, how can you walk for peace? Peace never has been and never will be. And you know what we say? That's one story. That's one story. And I want, you know, if I don't convey anything else, I want you to hear this. Because the power of story affects all of us. Our story is that peace not only is, it is alive and well. We traveled around the world. We traveled across this country. Never have we been funded. Ever. We had to walk in the face that what we needed would be present in our moment of need. And it's not cheap taking seven people around the world, even if we are walking. Because, you know, we've got to cross water and, you know, you don't want to show off, so you got to take a boat or a plane. But we made it in 3.5 years, 6 continents. And that's a testimony to something much greater than any one of us. We stayed in homes that were Muslim. We stayed in homes that were Hindu. We stayed in indigenous communities. We stayed in Christian homes. We stayed in temples, ashrams, you name it. Church basements. When someone meets you for the first time and brings you into their home, into their sacred space, and takes care of you, that's peace. When a family in the middle of India that's never even seen a Westerner, and certainly, you know, we look like a box of Skittles, all colors, all ages, you know, my mom's in a wheelchair. They didn't know what to do. They'd never seen us. No one spoke English. Very poor, in the middle of rice paddies. Look, they bring everything they have to create a feast for you. That's peace, is it not? When people in communities that are completely Muslim, we were in Morocco during Ramadan, completely, we weren't in the major cities, we were out in Wasita Wahed, which is a small community on the outskirts of Marrakesh. Probably never even seen a Christian, but took us in. And one thing that we heard over and over, as long as you believe in something, right, Karen? As long as you believe in something. The idea of believing in nothing was the worst thing in the world. So what I'm saying is those are the stories that we often need to share so that we can nurture peace within. And when we nurture that peace within, it begins to grow. That's what we have discovered. People say, what do you show up to do? And we say, nothing. What are you going to do in our community? Be present. And I want you to hear that. So many places we've been, people expected us to come to say something, to do something, to change them. That's not why we walk. Our guidance in love is to be present, to hear people, to feel people, and then to become the stewards of those stories and those experiences. So I'm here to say that peace is alive and well. We must nurture the stories of peace. Find within the stories of peace clues as to how we can truly affect peace in a systemic way in our politics, in our culture, and even in the way we worship. In those relationships are the answers. Martin Luther King used to say, peace is not merely a distant goal, okay? It's not a distant goal, but it is a means by which we arrive at the goal. When we weave the stories of peace, we begin to find in each other the answers that we seek. Because when you are in a place of peace, which means that inner space, as Peace Pilgrim used to say, when you find peace within yourself, you become the kind of person who can live at peace with others. How does that happen? Because in that place of peace, I hear you, I see you, I recognize that I am you. We are mutually bound together. And therefore, any choice I make has to be for the better good of us all. Because if I don't, then I'm making a bad choice for myself. Right? I am keeping myself in hostage. And in the Native American way, you know, it's that we walk with a flame. Let me back up. I didn't mention this. At the beginning of the walk, Six Nations up in Canada, they've been keeping a flame of the great peacemaker, and I don't have time to really talk about the great peacemaker, but look up the great peacemaker if you don't know that story. He unified the Iroquois Federation, the longest living democracy. Our Constitution is based on the Iroquois Federation. But there were three things left out: the role of women, the role of Mother Earth, and the role of our children. In the Iroquois Federation, the Great Law of Peace stated that if you're going to make a decision, you have to think about that decision seven generations out. If it's wrong for any of those generations, you go back to the drawing board and keep working on that decision until you can see it being good seven generations out. And so in that place of where we are bound mutually with one another, we have to begin to think that way. We must think that way. I want to say that all of us have a calling, and this is especially, I want the young people to hear that. All of us are born with something that is so pressing that in no matter what we do in life, that vision, that dream keeps coming back. It's like a lure. It just keeps pulling us back, no matter how fast or how far we try to run from it. And each of you have that already within you. Your destiny is great. Your life will be a journey into your destiny. And at every point, you will have a choice to choose to embrace that or not. And there will be lots of things that will affect your choices. What are people going to think about me? Anybody had that one? How is the world going? I'm supposed to fit into this box, but if I make this choice that my destiny is calling me to, I'm going to step out of the box. And then who am I going to be? I have to tell you a story about that. On the journey, people often say, well, what are your steps to becoming a peace walker? And my first response is, in the first 4 months of any walk, you have the opportunity to lose your mind. And if you can't lose your mind, you will leave the walk. You understand? Right. And let me tell you about my losing my mind experience. My son John probably laughed at this one. I had an interesting, you know, I feel like you know, God has conspired with me and sent these four old ladies to as his assistant. I call them my grandmothers there in spirit. And I, at about 35 years old, ran head-to-head into a brick wall on my own journey. I was going down one direction, although spirit was calling me here. I was on a fast track to success and, you know, boom, and three beautiful sons, you know, being mom, being in graduate school, working on my doctorate, being a dean at a college, and all of this. And then one day, cleaning the floor, felt this elephant kick me in the chest. You know, I had a mild heart attack. But the doctor told me I had a choice to either live what I'm here to do, there's something I'm not doing, or I probably wouldn't be here very, very long. And so it took a lot of reflecting. Well, what does that mean in my life? Long story short, I left my job. I said, okay, spirit, I'm going to embrace the path that you've put me here to do. Now, I don't understand it, and I don't know how to do it, but I will show up to every dream and vision that you give me, and I will take it one step at a time. And that's what my life has been about. And I remember early into the journey, one of my elders, I went to him, I said, I don't know if, I know I said I'd do this, but I don't know if I can do this. And he says, well, what's the matter? I said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. And indignantly, he looked at me and he said, my dear, it takes a mad, mad woman to do this work. So, first step on becoming a peace walker is learning to lose your mind, because you have to allow the mind of God to have the space that God needs to work in you and through you. If you're taking on a mission like this and you say, okay, this is my mission and I'm going to do it this way, ooh. I will give you an exit from the walk and help you get started on your journey, but I can't embrace that on this walk, because the vision came from God and it's much bigger than my understanding. So when people say, did you know what you were doing? No. That's why the first night on
you've been listening to Audrey Scott Williams at the Unity Church in Ackworth. I wanted to pause here because we will be coming back live next Wednesday, and every Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock we'll continue with the completion of that presentation. But we're going to be focusing on the next 3 weeks on angels, star people, and our galactic family, and giving new twists to that conversation. Not necessarily new twists, but perhaps putting it together in a new way as we look at some of our indigenous cultures and what that means, and out into some of the minds of our leaders today in this realm, and what they're saying and what they're putting together. So until next Wednesday, go in peace. Have a full week. You've been listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.